From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for Friday, December 18th, 2015. I'm Philip Grant. At the top of today's news, Michael Ryan provides a breakdown of the annual budget for the town of Ashland in the Daily Mail. The Ashland Town Board's 2016 spending package will total nearly $650,000, representing a slight increase over the current year. The budget included increases to the highway fund and the streetlight budget line, but water and sewer costs are expected to be self-sustaining next year. The spending plan contains no pay increases for the town supervisor, council, justices, clerks, attorney, tax collector, and highway superintendent. The assessor, however, will receive a $200 pay hike. Additional funds were set aside for paving and repaving town roads and for snow removal. You can read that full story in the Daily Mail. Jillian Nadiak is reporting in the Register Star that Eric Freight of Stockport has been sentenced to 8 years in prison for providing material support to terrorists. He was sentenced in federal court in Albany on Wednesday, December the 16th. The control systems engineer participated in a plot to build a remote control for a radiation weapon intended to kill Muslims. He pleaded guilty to the charge in 2014. Freight told U.S. District Judge Gary Sharp that his co-defendant, Glendon Scott Crawford, first approached him to create a mobile X-ray to sterilize medical waste. Only later did Crawford tell him the device would be used to target Muslims. Freight said he was afraid to drop out of the scheme after Crawford introduced him to two supposed investors in the project. Those investors turned out to be FBI undercover agents. Crawford was convicted following a jury trial in August. He faces 25 years in prison at his sentencing in March. Authorities said the device built by Crawford and Freight was inoperable and posed no danger to the public. No one was hurt. You can read that full story in the Register Star. Keisha Cluckley is reporting at Politico New York that the New York test refusal movement is expected to continue this spring. This time, the emphasis will be on having parents opt out their children from local assessments. New York State Allies for Public Education, a statewide coalition of 50 parent and educator groups, is urging its members to refuse local exams that will replace standardized Common Core aligned tests to evaluate teachers. The State Board of Regents recently passed emergency regulations to put a hold on the use of test scores in teacher and principal assessments. The coalition said the Regents' move simply substituted one test for another. The exam results will still be used in the evaluations, so teachers will still teach to them, a coalition spokesman said. The group is also now questioning the reliability of student test score data in teacher reviews. Last April, roughly 240,000 eligible students in grades 3 through 8 chose not to take the state math and English language arts tests. It was one of the largest test refusal movements in the nation. The opt-out movement has the support of the New York State United Teachers and the state's largest teachers union. You can read that full story at Politico New York. The New York State Public Service Commission, the PEC, decided on December the 17th to move ahead with a major voltage power line project through the Hudson Valley. The $1.2 billion project will place larger, higher voltage power lines through an existing power line corridor through Rensselaer, Columbia, and Dutchess counties on its way to send electricity to New York City. The Hudson Valley Smart Energy Coalition, a group of activists and municipalities opposed to the project, said in a press release that it was upset by the decision. Ian Solomon of Farmers and Families for Claverick and the larger coalition against the project said, and I quote, "Today's decision is a real disappointment for Hudson Valley residents, farms, and businesses. We feel strongly that the wrong decision has been made. As all hard evidence shows, the net impact will be detrimental to ratepayers, property owners, and the environment." Nia Hamm reports for New York News Connection from Public News Service that retailers are agreeing not to sell certain toy guns in New York.
30 online retailers will stop selling realistic toy guns to New Yorkers as part of a settlement with Attorney General Eric Schneiderman's office. Officials say the toy guns violate state law requiring toy guns to be brightly colored or have colored striping. The lookalikes have drawn scrutiny following incidents such as the Cleveland killing of 12-year-old Tamir Rice, who was holding a toy gun when shot by police. Retired Deputy Sheriff Gary Putup with New Yorkers Against Gun Violence says this is a step forward for both child safety and law enforcement.
Sometimes just the presence of something that it looks like a weapon skews people's perceptions. If you remember in that case, there were even citizens that were calling 911 believing that Rice was 20 years old as opposed to being 12 years old. At least in New York, it has to be brightly colored.
Al Kaufman with the Toy Industry Association says some of New York's toy gun laws conflict with federal regulations because, constitutionally, Congress has expressed a clear intent to preempt, meaning that federal law supersedes state law when the two conflict. He says the use of state law in this investigation may have been an overreach in some of the cases.
The federal requirement to preempt any state or local requirements. If there are items out there that don't comply with the federal requirements, then certainly we would applaud the Attorney General for enforcing those requirements. On the other hand, if he's going beyond those federal requirements, the regulations very specifically state that they're preempted.
Kaufman says any guns in question that meet federal requirements should not be subject to any action by the Attorney General. The retailers covered in this settlement sold more than 6,000 of the illegal toy guns in New York. They'll pay more than $27,000 in fines. For New York News Connection, I'm Nia Hamm.
The State Department of Environmental Conservation Acting Commissioner Basil Seagos announced on December the 16th the fourth year of a research project on wild turkey survival rates to help increase their falling numbers in New York. Acting Commissioner Sago said, and I quote, DEC and its partners have worked hard over the past 3 years to better understand why wild turkey populations have changed dramatically in New York, end quote. The DEC is looking for landowners interested in allowing birds to be trapped on their land, as well as alerting project coordinators when they see turkeys on their property on a regular basis. Locally, interested landowners should contact Carl Parker at 518-357-2154 at the Bureau of Wildlife, 1150 North Westcott Road in Schenectady. And for our final story, Timothy Knight in the Watershed Post is reporting that the Schoharie County Corrections Office is still housed in a dilapidated Federal Emergency Management Agency trailer with a portable outhouse 4 years after the storms associated with Hurricane Irene savaged the Catskills. During the storms in 2011, the county's public safety facility in Schoharie was hit by raging floodwaters with the county jail in the first floor completely destroyed. The corrections department moved into a FEMA trailer designed for 18 months of use. Schoharie County Sheriff Tony Desmond said, and I quote, "The FEMA trailer's got a refrigerator and a stove, but they can't run it because it blows the fuse out. Out of our own pockets, the undersheriff and I bought a microwave," end quote. You can read that full story in the Watershed Post. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting a partly sunny day for today with a temperature high near 43 degrees. For Friday night, a slight chance of snow showers after 10 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a low around 28 degrees. The chance of precipitation is 20%. The forecast for the weekend, well, on Saturday it will be partly sunny with a high near 36 degrees. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low around 24. And on Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 40 degrees. Sunday night, partly cloudy with a low around 29. Sunrise today was at 7:19 a.m. and the sun will set at 4:25 p.m., providing us with 9 hours and 5 minutes of daylight. That's 2 minutes less than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Friday, the 18th day of December, 2015. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.